Good evening, Patriots. This is Saturday, November 27th, and we're still surviving the insanity of the world. In spite of the fact that the new Omicron panic has swept the globe. I love the headline here. The mutation is unlikely to be more malicious. No reason for portfolio changes. In other words, you're not going to make any more money on Wall Street than you would before. Sorry. It just doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I'll tell you, what an insane world we are living in. And what the puppet masters are out of control, and hopefully not too many people will fall for it. Before we begin tonight, mypillow.com/bards. mypillow.com/bards is the landing page for our MyPillow location. We're very honored to have a page on mypillow.com. Your promo code is BARDS. You can use that promo code on MyPillow site. You can use the promo code on my store site, and you can also use it on the Frank Speech site. So I want to play this message for Mike Lindell since he's in the middle of his 96-hour thinkathon. So here you go.
Hello, everyone. I'm here to announce the 96-hour live stream event on frankspeech.com. This is going to be historic. We're going to call it the Thanksathon. It's going to go from 12 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning to midnight on Sunday, November 28th. We're going to unpack the historic U.S. Supreme Court complaint on the 2020 election. And we're also going to be taking apart the biggest crime in history, the 2020 election. We'll be posting the schedule here on frankspeech.com, so keep checking back. This is going to be 96 hours of thanks, hope, and information that we're all going to need to get our country back. You can all do your part right now and let everyone you know to go to frankspeech.com and watch this 96-hour thanksathon. Thank you and God bless.
So that's frankspeech.com. You get on over there. There's also some great deals going on over there. You can use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for any of the great deals there or on the MyPillow site or on the My Store site. Also, Expedition Coffee, X-P-E-D, expeditioncoffee.com is a site to go to for the full health complement of products, beginning with the coffee, which is a coffee designed for the warriors of this time, to give you that full boost of energy in the morning and sustain that energy over the whole day while helping to help enhance your immune system. We also have the gut health triad, which helps heal and seal your gut. We've got the Immune XP, which boosts your immune system. It's based on pine cone extract, one of the finest on the market. Also have Earth, a new whole body supplement that you can take in a shake form. And Pure 47, which is the most pure nano silver extract currently on the market that will help to eliminate a lot of the pathogen threat in your body. It's a full holistic system, all based on natural products, which is great. Just so I say it, I take all of them. I take them daily. They're fantastic products. And then a final note, the Founders Bible, as you know, Brad Cummings, the general editor of the Founders Bible, was on Thursday night's show, and they have a special that's continuing. It's going to continue at least through the end of the year. 20% off if you use the promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, for your Founder's Bible. And just so you know, I ordered a case of them. It's become my new Bible, by the way, the Founder's Bible. It uses the New American Standard Bible 1995 version, and I really, really like it. So just passing that along. People ask me, there you go. You want to know what my main Bible is these days? The Founder's Bible. For truth. You know, the more that I look at this nonsense that's going on, it's kind of interesting. I can't speak for the whole country. I do know that there are shortages happening, but not to the magnitude, at least in my area, of what the headlines are saying. I know we're starting to see selective shortages of goods, and I've said this before, and some of this may just be by the way that I shop. I'm not doing crazy Christmas shopping. Any of the shopping I did several months ago. And the other part is that we keep really well stocked up on bulk goods, and I don't buy the packaged goods garbage of the main store focus of like retail focus is always on processed and packaged goods. And I just don't do much of that at all. And even at that, there just doesn't seem to be the level of shortages that they're fanning the flames on. My theory is that while they're trying to socially engineer the future and getting people ready for this big change, which they're going to try to cause and are setting the conditions so they will cause it, my other theory is that they're speaking these narratives to those that have lost a lot of the supplemental COVID money. Those people that have been, not those that have left work because of the injection, but those that chose not to work, that decided to just live off the COVID money and not have to pay rent for like 18 months. So that's my guess. And it's trying to help them feel like, oh, you're all part of the, don't worry, we're all suffering together sort of stuff, instead of saying, get off your butt and go get a job. But that's not really happening right now. People are still enjoying their permanent vacation, I guess. Obviously, the issue of this Omicron, whatever it is, this fake new variant. And it's funny, again, to watch how some of this is done. Epic Times has typically been a really good source of news, but when it comes to COVID, they suck. I don't even know how else to say it. They are always parroting the mainstream media line and trying to justify what's actually going on. Now, their paper, by the way, it's really amazing because Epic Times is like this. I think they're bipolar as an editor, because on one hand, they promote amazingly good alternative health stuff. They do a great job at it. And they promote, they have incredible write-ups, by the way, in their regular paper about how to homeschool. So they're doing some great stuff. But when it comes to COVID, man, they just parrot the main narrative. And it's frustrating because there should be a line that they draw. But just to watch how a lot of this is happening, when this comes out, almost every journal out here will push the theme. I mean, I don't care whether it's Gateway Pundit or whether it's Zero Hedge. You're going to see the headlines about some version that's going to be a form of panic. And we just don't see the reasonableness in kind of the common sense language in headlines, because everybody's doing the same thing when they are doing headline stuff, which is trying to grab readers' attention, which is all emotional based. And this is why anymore, you know, I read this stuff with limitedly. I read very little news other than just kind of scan headlines, read some content that's interesting, try to kind of look at the financial trends. But a lot of the main news is garbage, and it's all garbage because it's, like I've said before, it's two sides trying to pit everybody to the middle. It's, if you know the term Ouroboros is the snake with the tail in its mouth, or the dragon with its tail in its mouth. And that's literally what they're trying to do to the public, is trying to get everybody to consume itself. You know, take the stock market, for example. And I've talked about this before, but it's one of the most devious plans ever developed. So the idea is that a company produces money and the profits are shared with the investors that have bought a share of the company, which is the stock. But that's not really how it works in the actual effect of it, because what's actually happening is the money's coming in from investors, that top angel share, if you will. That comes from distilling whiskey, by the way, angel share. That angel share right off the top is paid to the CEOs, the corporate elites, and the kind of the big hedge fund managers. And then they have the stockholders to try to appease. And so they give a little bit of money back, which is pittance compared to what they've taken. But where do they take the money from? And that's key. They take it off the back of labor, and they take it off of the production costs, which is always labor related. So the crazy part about where we are right now is, as people are investing for their retirement, they're funding the system that's trying to kill you. It's just literally that way, while at the same time suppressing labor's ability to make a real wage. Because when labor gets to be too high, what do companies do? They downsize, they export their manufacturing to some other place where they don't have the controls, and they can create a new class of slave labor, and then they sell back the garbage to Walmart, whoever. And the whole part of this is that the stock market is part of the enslavement trap because it's people enslaving people. Isn't that amazing? Well thought out, by the way. And that kind of leads the whole issue to where we are constantly entrapping each other and constantly being enslaved by our own chains. Where I want to start tonight is Luke 8:26-39. And I think this is a very interesting passage in this whole context. And this is when Christ went over to the country of Gerasenes. So I'll begin. They sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons and who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house but in the tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard, and yet he would break his bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. Now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter the swine. He gave them permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it to the city and out in the country. And people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon possessed had been made well, and all the people of the country of Gerasenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with great fear. Sounds like COVID. And he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. This is a man that had been enslaved. And in coming to Christ, obviously he's freed. I always find this a very profound passage because Christ actually tells him to go back and spread the word. But there's no Bible in his hand. He hasn't studied scripture. He doesn't know the true word of God, if you can say that for this time. What he knows is the experience of what has been given to him. And he's sharing that miracle, that experience with people to expand the understanding of God in Christ Jesus. It's profound to me because it's the intent that Christ is asking him to share. He doesn't have the readings of scripture. He doesn't have any of the schooling that would have been around. And yet here he is sharing the word based on an experience. We don't usually think that way. I also remarked in this place as I made the comment is how quickly the perception of what is a miracle in certain phrasings, how people see that with fear. They step back and they're like telling Jesus he needs to leave because they're now afraid. And so with all of this, there's this separation that's happening. There's one man left behind in a community racked by fear to share the word of Christ. And in sharing that word of Christ, he is going to be one against the many. Because the fear narrative has locked hold of these people. They came from everywhere to see it. And there it is right before them. I mean, imagine where this is today. This is an interesting juxtaposition, because when we look at today and we have people that are living healthy, or you every or someone who has not, even if you've had COVID or whatever this thing is, this flu, and you've survived it fine, it's been a little rough go because that's just what the nature of it is. And yet you make that testimony to people and they don't want to hear you. And yet that would have been very similar to this man, I believe. I mean, who is, and yet it's that's that uphill climb that we have to make to spread that word and to go forward. He's part of a broadening, I'd use the term nation. And that's what I want to read a definition of here. It's very interesting because we think of nation right now very much in terms of nation states. But there's much more to it than that. Nation is defined as, and this is from, this is actually from the Free Dictionary by Farlex. So thefreedictionary.com. And nations is defined as a relatively large group of people organized under a single and usually independent government, a country. That's our typical definition. The territory occupied by such a group of people, that would be the United States as a nation, for example. That's A and B. So the second main definition, the government of a sovereign state. So technically we're a sovereign state, even though we're owned by China and the deep state. Three, a people who share common customs, origins, history, and frequently language, a nationality. This is kind of the starts to get into another type of perspective on nation. And then four, a federation or tribe, especially one composed of Native Americans, the territory occupied by such federation or tribe. The last two are kind of what I want to zero in on. Because we tend to think of nation very, very modern, in modern terms. The nation state, the nation of the United States. For some, they're going to the new generation is going to be looking at this United Nations, which is this one world order concept. But nation is, in the way I believe that we're going to have to face nation, is going to be in common blood and common belief. And that gets into these common customs, origins, history. And right now we have effectively two predominant nations that have erupted across the world. One that abide to tyranny, which has a designator as well, typically, of being injected with the bioweapon. And then you have those that stand against tyranny that are anti-bioweapon. And then you can break sub-nations from there. We have a nation within that that is true followers of Christ Jesus and God. And then there are various nations within that category of people that are against the injection. I'm bringing this up because of what's here, and I'm going to read into this a little bit. This is Revelation 22:1-5. Then he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb, in the middle of its street. On the other side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need for the light of the lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them and they will reign forever and ever. One of the challenges I truly believe we are all going to face in these coming months and years is having to get along, to be blunt. And this has been kind of heavy on my heart today, because the one thing that we are at right now is a place where we are going to witness, at least as things are moving, we're going to witness a lot of death. And there is a lot of death happening right now. It's just being very conveniently swept under the rug or kept out of the eye of all of us. And we're going to have to find a way to heal the nations. And I'm going to speak a little bit outside of Scripture right now. So just, I'm just going to give you, I want you to think again about the definition of nations. And I think that at the place where we look at, when we start to look at like the two nations I just described, that's not a nation we would have ever foreseen 18 months ago, right? And yet it is. There is a nation of obedience to tyranny, and it's global. And there is a nation who defies tyranny and seeks liberty. That's global. There is within that various other nations, because that those two broad nations are broken up into other types of nations. Powerfully in the center of that is that nation that follows Christ and follows that word of God as a breakaway. And it's saying that there's no, but look at how we also have a nation that says it follows Christ, but is obedient to the vax and tyranny. I consider that kind of a false following, but nonetheless, it's there. There's a lot of mix-up that's happened in this last 18 months, more so than I think we take enough time to recognize it and realize it. The nation state, as is the traditional model of the definition of nation, that is the United States, United Kingdom, France, Italy, they're just territorial boundaries that are still on a map because they're defined by something that has a mechanism of property and a mechanism of passport, but those technically are all dead now. They're no longer functional, even though they're symbolically functional, and they're symbolically functional in people's minds, but for the most part, these nations have been dissolved. They're not functioning like that. And we can see that by the rise up of protest across the world. The protests that are happening in Europe and the protests that are happening in Australia and the line that Americans are drawing here and the standing up to school boards, there's a lot of commonality in that nation mindset. And that gets to common customs or origins or histories. And that starts to create a separate type of culture within it. And we have two defined cultures. So we're going to be very challenged as this moves forward because things are not going to be black and white. They aren't going to have a war. And it's going to require us to have conversations on areas in this broad nation of, we'll just call it for the sake of this, the non-bioweapon, anti-tyranny, pro-liberty nation that's evolved around the world. We're going to have some very candid conversations to try to bridge differences and have us come to some common places, keeping in mind that in the body of Christ, not everything is going to be equal. And it's important, I think, that we keep that in mind. It gives us temperance and grace. And that process, which is, Brad Cummings spoke to it on Thursday night, which is a very interesting perspective of where the pilgrims had come to in their experience, because the core pilgrims had been, obviously, they had accepted Christ, but with that boat that came over were many atheists and agnostics. They lost out of the 104 in the first winter, they lost 50%, 52 died. And so there was a need to come together, and the way that they came together, which was an interesting, this is what Brad was talking about, is that they had come to a place of all agreeing on the acceptance of God, but those that had accepted Christ stayed true and dear to that and let their lives live the process of faith to demonstrate that commitment to Christ for others to witness. To me, that's a very powerful way of walking in the world. And it's, in my own experience, and I've shared this before, it's one of the things that in my early childhood drove me crazy and really made me suspect of churches in general, because in my small town, which is about 1974 to 78, 80 period, there was the manipulation of Wall Street and the globalist push and the shift to the petrodollar, all of that essentially wiped out a town's core industry. We were a timber town. So this is a town at the time was about 16,000 people. And what we saw happen was that in that core town, there were approximately 20 in a 16,000 person town. Think about this, about 20 logging companies in the county that went bankrupt or were bought out by a former interest and then dissolved and absorbed into something like Cascade Pacific or something like that. The unemployment was outrageous. I mean, I grew up in a true unemployment in a small town of 20% that at times surged as high as 30. So I had a touch, whether I liked it or not, of what depression looked like. And we had the revival, the reborn, and I don't say this in a positive sense, so please understand that. When I talk about the reborn movement that came in the late 70s, it was an exploitative movement that came in to tap into people's money to build the church and to sell the revelation concept to get people to come to Christ under fear. I hated it. I still do. And I have no tolerance for it whatsoever. So that sort of fake approach by the churches created a certain proselytizing that literally was something like this. And I've shared this before. Knock, knock, like every week. Knock, knock. Yes. Have you accepted Christ? No, you're going to hell. That was kind of the mantra. And it's like, have you accepted Christ? Yes. Well, have you gone to our church? No, then you're going to hell. It's like, let's stop. Okay. Because they weren't doing anything to bring people closer to Christ. And they sure as heck weren't living it, other than the fact that they could pack a bunch of people in a car and dress like Quakers and come to your door. There was all sorts of fakeness in that whole thing. So I'm sharing this because it's really been on my heart today to start looking at this, going back to look forward. That it's really a big theme for me, and it's going to be a theme you're going to hear a lot from me, both in when my book finally gets done and also the whole thing this next year, a lot of going back to look forward and going back to move forward. There's a lot of richness in the story of the pilgrims, and there's a lot of richness in understanding a broader concept of nation. And so to get very personal as well, it's very interesting to me because when I had my little stint in 2017, when the deep state decided to throw me in jail for 20 days without charge, what was amazing to me is that the people that ended up bringing me in and kind of guiding me through that period were all American Indian Christians. And it was an amazing experience. I truly mean it. And there is a point where nations came together, literally, right? So I just present this tonight as something, I think it's very positive, and I think it's a very reflective place that we have to look at the Word of God and see and remind ourselves of Luke 8:26-39. Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you as he sends back the man to his village. Who has the experience of Christ and can share that as the pure word of what's happened, but he doesn't have to rely on the specific words of Scripture. We also, and I mentioned it at the beginning, but there's a reason that I'm so interested in the Founders Bible, because what we learn in studying our own history is our founding fathers spoke in a way of referencing Scripture throughout their verbiage, their normal dialogue, but they wouldn't quote the exact phrase or verse. This is critical. Because as they got there, they were able to share the Word of God in a living sense, because this is where our founding fathers came from. Faith was part of life. And faith is part of living, is the example of it. And as we do that and bring Christ through us, we can coexist with people that have, in this broad sense, like common nation. Nobody likes tyranny, or at least in our nation, no one's for tyranny. We want liberty. We want to be pursuing that. I can coexist with someone who's a Buddhist, but I'm not going to live as a Buddhist. I'm going to live as a follower of Christ. And we're going to have discussions about Christ, because that's what I expect. And I would expect that they will try to have discussions about Buddha. And I'm not going to endorse what they say, but I'm also not, and it's not my role to beat them over the head with an axe to like take it or leave it. And I say this from my firsthand experience, because one of the great successes I had in Afghanistan was rather profound, actually, is to sit with various tribe leaders. And one of those, actually, I have sat with Taliban, and we have talked about Christ, and we have talked about our faith, and we found a lot of common ground. Okay, now I don't endorse Islam. I think it's upside down, and I just leave it at that. But the whole point is that there was a respective conversation. And in one way or another, the goal that I always have in my heart is to bring people closer to Christ and closer to a relationship to Christ. And if, however, God works beyond that, I don't know. I mean, that's God's amazing way of working, right? I don't see it as my role to go into a crowd and start taking a rope and throwing it around their neck and dragging them in and saying, "You shall be saved or you shall go to hell." That is just not my sort of thing. So in this time ahead, as we have to embrace the corruption of the church, which sadly, and I say this, I do mean this what I'm saying, the church that is supposed to be the symbol of Christianity, we have learned how deeply corrupted that church is that we were expecting to be with us in this time of standing against tyranny. What have we found? We have found that most churches, to a large degree, especially the big ones, have already sold their soul down that river of hell. And so that's left us out here to, in a sense, become, and I'm so hear me, and this is loosely translating this in a much broader sense, Luke 8:26-39. We've been freed from the chains. And now we've been sent back to the village to describe the great things that God has done for us without the framework of the church. And I just find this to be an amazing experience that we're in right now, all of us having this responsibility to listen carefully, to be respective of where people are in their life and in their process. One of the great things that Travis Graham would always say in church, and I really respect him as a pastor, and there's a good reason, obviously, not only was he my mentor into Christ, but he is one that is totally embraces the idea of expanding the kingdom through disciples. So as you heard in his previous interview, which was about 2 weeks ago, he talked about home churches and how the centerpiece of any home church is discipleship, that ultimately a home church needs to develop disciples, and I think that's critical. But it also, we have to be respective of where people are in their band of faith. Some are just entering, and some are on a deep relationship over time, and we can't expect everybody to be on that same asthma and that same point in plane. And by the way, one thing I'm going to throw out here, because as we approach in the next month or so, as we kind of start really pushing home churches a lot through the county by county, I do want to share this, and I will make this available as we grow this. Pastor Travis Graham has told me personally that anybody that's wanting to start a home church, he will be happy to talk to and to guide with any questions you have. I think that's a profound statement, and I'll make that available for people to follow, and it's a really giving thing. That's how much he values the idea. In that previous interview, he does an amazing job of really talking about Paul and what Paul's role was and how those churches evolved. And it's important because Travis is in a very small church. He has no desire to build any sort of mega church. And it's a very traditional country church. And so there's a lot of unique outreach that goes on. I was there for 2 years, I will tell you, it's really interesting. It's an interesting community. It's a small town community, about 20-some thousand people. They have some really difficult drug issues. There's not a single person in Travis's church, and I tell you this honestly, there's not one person that sits in that church that has not lost a friend or a relative to drug overdose. It's that ravaged. It's ravaged the community that much. And so it's a very important piece to build the discipleship that we are out in the community. And again, back to the man with the demons, once freed as we are when our relationship with Christ is the point to speak the great things God has done for us. Whether or not you're perfect in your scripture is not the deal. It is speaking that and to bring people to that word of God and let them explore it and let them find it. Because God works through us, and God leads us into places where God will wake us up. So it's a very powerful, powerful place. And then as that gets us then to that place of nations, right? And as we are seeing this new evolution of nations, it's redefining right before our very eyes. The old traditional model that we became so safe in with borders and passports, obviously they're trying to turn this whole world into one big passport where your border, literally, if you don't comply with it, might be the limit of your house. We're trying to get to a place where we are living in, I would basically say it this way, communities that have common agreement, but in sharing God's world together in a way that we're not going to have to deal with the stupidity of restrictive governments and totalitarian rule. The two are diametrically opposed. And there is not going to be a peace between these two nations, okay? You cannot fundamentally have a peace between a nation that calls for tyranny, obligation to their rules, a willful acceptance of tyranny, and even further, which is to say a belief in transhumanism, which is a worship in AIs and a god of artificial creation. You cannot have peaceful coexistence with that, with a group that believes in liberty, freedom, and the natural rights given to us by God, and a belief in Christ Jesus and a true salvation into God. I mean, you can't have those two sitting next to each other going, "Hey, buddy, how's it going today? You want to join me for tea as a transhuman?" You're not going to find that compatibility. So we have a bifurcation right now that has already happened. It's a massive division, and there's really no in between. You aren't going to be able to sit in the middle. And that is, you've heard me talk about that for months. We're there now. It's just a matter of whether people accept it. And with that bifurcation, so goes away the nation state. So our nations now are broadly defined, again, as those that object to tyranny, object to the masters of tyranny, object to anything other than the Lord God above them, and are anchored in liberty. And obviously almost everybody in that group is either completely anti-vax or they have become anti-vax by virtue of having experienced tasting this hell on the other side. And then you have this other side, which is literally pro-tyranny, pro-obedience. Those two worlds are now here. It's just a matter of how quickly people realize that they're going to have to make a choice. As we follow that path then forward with that exodus from that system, literally, and we are following that path with God in our heart and following Christ Jesus as we move through there and the acceptance of Christ deeply, the most powerful thing we can do is to live our faith. Proselytizing is going to create a lot of division, where by living the light of Christ and living that in our lives and bringing our faith into the world as we live and breathe it. And that's really, to me, the ultimate living with God, that everything we do, we live through God. We become, as we have our engagements, as we can demonstrate that path, we can now become the light, literally, that leads the many by virtue of how we live. And it's the most powerful way of doing things. God is great. God is moving in amazing ways, and God is dividing this world and crushing out the old systems and literally offering now the paths for us to follow. It's hard to witness as we witness friends and family taking the wrong path and they just refuse to hear. And unfortunately, there's a consequences of choice. And I don't have any idea what this looks like farther down we get. God can always forgive and heal. We have to stay focused, in my true opinion, is that we have to stay focused on strengthening this remnant, building our ranks between us, that fellowship we have with us, not just in the digital, but in the real and in the spiritual, and really fortifying that community in which we're in and expanding that more and more so that we have the strength between one another as we watch this world kind of fragment, because things are not as they were, right? We all find ourselves in one way or another in little islands. Maybe your island is as big as your house. Maybe your island is as big as your county. But the fact is that we're no longer as a unified mass, as a nation, and we're as an old style nation, a country nation. We're now unified through our beliefs and ironically through the purity of our blood. That's quite an interesting change that's happened in about 18 months. And that's God moving, and God moving very, very fast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this time when we're facing such amazing shakeup in the world and the collapse of old systems and the rise of a new, we are truly faced with this fork in the road. We have one path that's evolved that's relatively clear, and it's a path that's calling many in a deception, sadly, a path that's promising great things through the hand of monetary ease, debt forgiveness, a guaranteed basic income, the protection against evil viruses that seem to erupt at random around the world as long as people continue to get the injection, and even promises of great expansion of mind control and mind capabilities with the connection to this master AI, which will ultimately be the worshipped temple of the fallen. At the other side, Lord, we have an emerging side, which we all feel in our heart. It's the relationship through Christ, that love that we have for you, unwavering love we have for you, and yet that path is not clear, other than we know that wherever you lead us is the right place to go. Lord, we ask that this evening as we pray, just to give us that strength in faith, the unwavering faith that we have as we move forward, to guide us into these places of unknown without any fear, without any anxiety, knowing that you're there with us and that you'll guide us as we need to remember, as it is with Exodus, that there was a true faith in where they would be led. And we need to have that once again. We have to endure this phase, as we know, which is the collapse of the old and the rebirth of the new. And as you have it planned and as it is forming before us, that trust and trust above all, that trust in you, Lord, to guide us, protect us, and lead us to where we need to be. We're grateful for all that's given. We're grateful for this time in which we live. We're humbled by all that you continue to do and love us in all that we are. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So it is a good time to be alive, and a challenging one. And I think that what's most amazing about all of this is just the place that we are, where we're able to truly witness and have to make the choice to join in a true sense of faith. Faith right now is what will guide us, a true faith in our love in Christ and our true faith in God. There is a blindness in that walk that happens in faith. And it's the rewards are immense. They are greater than we can measure as long as we take the step away from the fear and the concerns of the old. There's so many traps on the other side. There's so many steps of having to step away from the hooks of the other side. As we started with this, the hooks of the stock market, there are so many other traps, the hooks of credit, the hooks of mortgages, the hooks of car payments, all of these things that ensue that get us trapped. And then when we start to feel to move away, you feel like you can't because you have to somehow replace all that you had from before. Sometimes you have to lose everything to know how to rebuild. I will tell you, and I just speak for my own, I have gone through that process 3 times in my life. Actually, yeah, 3 times of losing everything. And God has always provided and always rebuilt in a greater way. And I'm just blessed to have those experiences, because once we start to step into the right places and rise up, it is truly an amazing power that God puts upon us, and how quickly, which is most amazing, is how quickly things can be restructured and rebuilt. So have a blessed evening. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Our prayers right now, and our level approach towards our faith and this walk in this world are most important. We need to be living our faith completely in every breath that we take, in every step that we take. We should be striving at all things at all times to reduce and separate ourselves from any sort of obligation we have from this debt enslavement economy that we're in. We should be doing everything we can to listening to God and embracing our gifts and talents for what they truly are, and to be following those no matter what the challenge, because there is no challenge we can't overcome with God. And God is with us in all things. He'll guide us. He protects us. And God is leading us to an amazing victory, and he's working through us to elevate us and grow us in such amazing ways. And that, to me, every morning when I get up, and I just kind of close this with these words, no matter what the world looks like, the one thing that I like to remind myself of, and I hope this can settle in with those that are feel the world gets a little too big once in a while, God has us here for a reason, and he's trusting us. And that's ours to hold to him, to trust in him, and to embrace that love of Christ that's there. And when we do that, it doesn't matter what you face. It will be overcome. Have a very blessed evening. I'll see you tomorrow night for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, thank you. Good night. God bless. And out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together. Thank you. the tides. Out on the freeway, let it ease my mind. We run away sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. To what we know, keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.